All right. I'm going to proceed a little differently here tonight. Look in Acts chapter 26, first of all. Acts 26. We'll go from there. Acts chapter 26. First of all, notice verse 5. And notice Paul here is explaining himself before Agrippa. And he makes mention of something in passing. Talking about the Jews in Jerusalem, verse 4, who in verse 5, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straightest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. First of all, that's a double superlative, most straightest. But you didn't care about that, did you? Notice the sect there. Verse, chapter 28, go down to verse 22. Chapter 28, in verse 22. And notice, but we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. Talking about Paul. For as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against, talking about Christianity. Now, one more. Back to chapter 24. Acts chapter 24. And verse 14. Acts 24, 14. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and the prophets. Let's pray. Now, Father, we come here straight against something we kind of bang up against all the time. Father, in a country that's downsliding badly, we are children of God, children of the light, trying to live by the light. And, Father, we know we fail in some things. But, Father, we run upon certain accusations all the time. And sometimes it's hard to hear from folks we love and folks that we would respect and that we would like to have respect us. Nevertheless, Father, that's the way it is. We pray that you'd help us tonight to see some things. Maybe we can answer some questions tonight for somebody who has lingering doubts. Pray mainly, Father, you'd help us turn our hearts and minds to the Word of God in all things. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Like I said, this sermon is going to advance a little different than normal as far as I'm not really taking a biblical text tonight and expanding upon it. You've ran up against three passages here. Two of those passages mentioned sects, S-E-C-T-S, and the other one mentioned heresies. Because Paul was accused of being a sectarian, and he was called a sectarian heretic. All right? Now look, we run up on this all the time. I have preached this message here before, and I decided a few years back that with the number of times we hear stuff about it that I probably would come back and preach this message every, I don't know, 3 or 4 years, something like that. For the simple fact that I suppose even in the last 6 months, I have probably heard tell of at least 20 folks that accused you of going to a cult. Now, the word cult is not in the Bible, all right? But the idea is there. And somebody can start coming to Blessed Hope Baptist Church or Line of Judah Baptist Church or wherever, really. And they show up about 6 times and somebody in their family, somebody they love, somebody they respect, wind up calling them part of a cult. You know, in 1983, I was still a Southern Baptist boy. I was in my 3rd year in college, and I'm talking about college here. And I'd just gotten right with God. I'd just gotten a hold of some material. And really turned things around. Now listen, I was still a Southern Baptist. The Southern Baptists are said to be the most numerous Protestant denomination in America. All right? And I was at the time going to a Southern Baptist church with 4,000 members in it. And I got my life kind of turned around and started living a little different. I never will forget, I went into my apartment one day and sat down with a couple of buddies of mine I used to run with on the football team. And a 6'5", 280-pound offensive tackle looked at me and said, Kyle, now he's a dope smoker and a drunk, right? He looked at me and said, Kyle, we're worried that you're in a cult. I think the occasion was that Marcy and I were planning a wedding. And if I remember right, the occasion was that my dad and my stepmother were coming to Pensacola to visit, just to see us. And here I was. I've been a Baptist my entire life. If, you know, I was a Baptist before I was saved, right? So I've been a Baptist my entire life. Here I was going to a Baptist church in Pensacola and a Baptist Bible Institute, and my grandfather told my parents to check me out that he thought I was in a cult. And I bring all that up, folks, because I tell you what, if you are saved and if you're a Bible believer and if you allow Jesus Christ to give you some victory in your life, if you live different than you used to live, I can guarantee you somewhere along the way, somebody's going to call you a part of a cult, all right? Now, I want to address that for a little while here tonight for the very fact that you need to be armed against this a little bit. And first of all, you need to realize a couple things. The word cult is not a Bible term. Not only does it not define it, it does not mention it, all right? So what that means is when you are called a cult member, somebody is going off a definition that men made up, all right? Now, I'll tell you this right now, folks. I am against the cult, right? I believe there's such a thing as a legitimate cult, right? Now, I tend to call those folks, I tend to divide them with regard to they're a cult because they have false doctrine. They're a cult because they are false teachers, false preachers, and false prophets, right? They go after delusions. They are heretics because they don't line up here, right? If they speak not according to this word, it's because there's no light in them, right? So the first thing is the word cult is not a Bible term. The second thing is I am against them all the way, but I got news for you. You would not know what a cult was. You would not know how to denominate anything if you did not have a Bible. For instance, Acts 24:14 here, I confess unto thee that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things written in the law and the prophets. Look in Acts 17 real quick. Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Now look, when you start having somebody accuse you of going to a cult, or your pastor being a cult leader, or you being involved in a cult, your church being a cult, I got news for you. All right, that word is intended to drive you under the couch. That word is intended to make you duck your head and bob and weave and yield and compromise so you don't go to that kind of church anymore and you're not so weird and strange and peculiar, right? That is what it's for. It is used when folks accuse you of being a cult member. What you think is they think I'm part of a Jim Jones outfit. They think I'm part of a David Koresh outfit. We don't have pentagrams. We don't wear hoods. We don't go drink purple Kool-Aid or whatever color it was. Whatever. I don't even know what color it was. But they accuse you of those things. They intend for you to duck and run and dive under something. It is intended to do that so that you will yield. Now, I want to talk to you for a little while tonight because I can't define cult by the Bible because the word cult is not in the Bible. However, excuse me, I can take what men say a cult is and show you, and hopefully you can make up your mind, whether you are in one or not, right? Now, first rule is, you have got to trust God and not man, all right? Just because somebody calls you a bad name doesn't mean it's so. In fact, just because somebody calls you a cult member doesn't even mean that they know what they're talking about. You know, in the end, what is a cult? Define cult for me. Well, the average guy that called you a bad name, your Aunt Maybell, who resents you leaving the Catholic Church and becoming a Baptist and going to church all you go to, and sometimes you even go 5 times a week and all that kind of stuff. She resents that. She calls you a cult member. If Aunt Maybell was confronted, would Aunt Maybell know how to define a cult? Absolutely, positively not. So first of all, you have got to trust God and not man. And some of the things I have to say tonight may make some of you uncomfortable, but hopefully you come out of this with better armed to decide whether you are in truly a cult or not. All right? Now, like I said, it's not in the Word of God, so I've got to define it by what guys say, what men say a cult is. First of all, as far as I'm concerned, this is kind of the master book. I'm going to define for you what a cult is, and then we're going to go through and figure out if we is one. All right? Now, this is called The Kingdom of the Cults by a guy named Martin. His name is Walter Martin. He's dead now. And by the way, this is a very good book. I would advise you to get it, put it in your library, read it. He has really good stuff on the cults in there, and for the most part, I think he's right. However, we'll look at that a little bit later. This is called The Mind Benders by Jack Sparks. You can probably find that. What the Cults Believe by Irvine Robertson. All right? Now, I'm not going to go through and read a lot of stuff for you. I'm telling you, my definitions come from these books that are noted for being sound Bible texts and so on and so forth. All right? So let me just tell you, first of all, let me give you the first definition, then we're going to talk about some things. First of all, to them, just so you know, so your Aunt Maybell knows, a cult is a group, a religious group, that differs from beliefs, from the beliefs of religious groups considered orthodox. They have major deviations from historic Christianity. Okay? Now, the bottom line on that is beliefs that differ from religious groups considered orthodox Christians, right? Or from historic Christianity. Now, first of all, I agree with that. Okay, that works fine. I mean, most cults do mess with the deity of Christ, right? So there's no problem with that. Most cults have weird ideas about the nature of God, His holiness or His Trinity or His sovereignty or whatever, right? They have strange ideas. They change a lot of those things. Salvation, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Mormons don't have it right. They're a cult. Got news for you. The Roman Catholic Church doesn't have it right. They are a cult. All right? So I'm telling you that it's true enough that a cult differs from the beliefs of historic Christianity or orthodox Christianity. Here's a problem. If you take that definition at face value, there is an ominous cloud that overhangs that definition. And that ominous cloud is, who is it that gets to decide what is orthodox? Where does this orthodox group of men, women, children, animals, boys and girls sit that have the stamp of approval where if you believe this, you're orthodox, and if you believe that, you're a heretic and you belong to a cult? Where does this Sanhedrin sit? And the answer is, there is no Sanhedrin like that. How you I tell you, I looked for the definition of orthodoxy, and in here, one of the definitions offered of orthodoxy. Are you ready? Get your ears ready for this. The normative expression of religion in one's total culture. In other words, orthodox Christianity is everything taken as a whole in quote-unquote Christianity, and just if you deviate too far from the middle, then you're a whack brain, all right? But you can tell from that, I think, this thing is very, very, very relative. I mean, who would say we get to set the standard for orthodoxy? Well, the Roman Catholic Church would say, well, we do. Me, right? The Lutherans? Oh, that would be us. The Mormons? Oh, right here. Methodists? Oh, that'd be us. We get to set the normative standards for what orthodoxy is. But the truth of the matter is, folks, the Bible sets the standards for what's right. The moment that you go after this idea of trying to figure out what orthodoxy is, you have to go by man's opinion. The minute you leave the Bible and go by man's opinion, the devil already won, right? If you cite this definition as final, I'm telling you the devil already won. All right? Let me ask you another question. What is historic Christianity? Well, Roman Catholic Church says, oh, that would be us right here. Lutheranism, oh no, we got it right. The Presbyterians, oh no, that'd be us. The Baptists, oh no, that's us all the way, us writers, that'd be us. Okay, now I got a quote to read for you here, and this book is a very good book, by the way. He's not a Bible believer in the strict sense that we are, and that's fine. Not many are. But he says kind of a scary thing. Now think about this. This guy is saying that somebody that's in a cult is in a group that differs in general, in the normative expression, it differs and deviates from historic Christianity. And then he tells you where he's coming from. And notice what he says. He says, I feel there is still much more to be said. It's been wisely observed by someone that a man who will not stand for something is quite likely to fall for almost anything. So, I have elected to stand on the ramparts of biblical Christianity. Ooh, right? Good stuff. As taught by the apostles. Good stuff. Defended by the church fathers. Church history, you're going to learn some things about some church fathers. Rediscovered by the reformers. And embodied in what is sometimes known as Reformed theology. Walter Martin says, I'm coming at you, I'm defining normative Christianity, the Orthodox standard, as Reformed Christianity. Martin Luther was a reformer, and he sprinkled babies. Calvin was a reformer, and he has an entire doctrine named after his name, and killed somebody for not doing it his way. My point, ladies and gentlemen, is the minute you go after it at this level and you leave your Bible, I'm telling you, the devil has won. Now look, you being branded a cult by Orthodox Christianity means what? It means absolutely nada. It is nothing but baloney. It is hot air. I'll tell you all that matters. All that matters is whether you are a biblical Christian. If you believe what the Bible says and rightly divide and understand what the Bible says and practice what the Bible says, you are a biblical Christian no matter what they say out there. And remember, Paul said, after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers. All right? So the first thing is, first of all, Aunt Maybelle could not verbalize the fact that, you guys are cult members because you deviate from historical orthodoxy in the way that we think of it. She's never read Walter Martin. She's just mad at you for leaving the Lutheran church. That's all it is. She just means for you to duck and dive, get your kids back into a Halloween costume, and live like you used to live. Come have a drink with the rest of the family. That's what she wants. And if you don't do that, you're going to be a cult member. She's going to call you that. She doesn't know what she's talking about. But I'm telling you, if you are a biblical Christian, you're in good shape. Right? Now, there's another definition here I should bring up. This is probably the second thing they think about. A cult, according to these books, is a group that gathers about a specific person or a specific person's misinterpretation of the Bible. That person becomes the sole authority and interpreter of God's truth. And basically what it revolves around is what he says the Word of God means or says. Right? Now, if that's the case, then we have real fodder to work with here, because that means Catholicism is a cult. Because it's about one guy. Their head guy, when he speaks from the chair, speaks infallibly according to them. Right? The Mormons are certainly a cult, and they certainly are, because Joseph Smith got extra biblical revelation. He's not even a Jew. Right? There are lots of folks like that. When you stop and consider Christian Science, Mary Baker Patterson, somebody Eddie, whatever her name was, she was married about 900 times. But the Moonies, Scientology, L. Ron Hubbard, seen any of his book around? Jim Jones, David Koresh. Okay, those guys are genuine cult leaders. Now, we knew that. But here's where the devil's pretty subtle, folks. The devil's pretty subtle in that, because what your Catholic grandma and your Presbyterian, she was once a Catholic. She was a Lutheran a minute ago. Now she's a Presbyterian. Aunt Maybell. She's now a Presbyterian, Aunt Maybell. She's mad at you. And one of the things that bothers her is that you're listening to that guy preach to you all the time. You're following biblical leadership, and that makes you a cult member because she doesn't like the redneck. Right? Now look, here's where the devil's pretty subtle because he knows where to hit you. And the idea here is, folks, that's all fine and good, and I realize there's a David Koresh, I realize there's a Jim Jones, I realize there's a Pope, all those things. But the fact of the matter is, you and I both know if you read the Bible that God's method is to take a man and call him, commission him and equip him, then put him on the potter's wheel and get him to get a fire in his belly and go out and start something for the Lord Jesus Christ according to the Bible, right? Moses did it. Abraham did it. A lot of guys did it in the Word of God. It's been followed by thousands of people we could name. It was true of Abraham, Jacob, Moses, Judah, Samuel, David, and right on down the line, right? I mean, I sought a man to stand in the gap, right? How can I know what the Bible says if some man doesn't show me, says the Ethiopian eunuch. My point, folks, is that the devil knows where to get you because he knows that if he can get a strong enough biblical leader in front of you, and if you're following biblical leadership, then he can always stir up somebody to say, that's a cult leader like Jim Jones, or that's a cult leader like David Koresh. I want you to know, folks, that is not true. Look, there was a group named the Paulicans. They're known as heretics. There is a group called the Donatists. They're known in church history by them as heretics. All those guys, the Mennonites, the Hutterites, and many other groups were called at first by bad names, and the first bad name was the name of their leader. Remember Christianity? The first five or six letters in that word is Christ, right? That was not given as a nice name. That name was an epithet against folks who believe what Christ said. My point, ladies and gentlemen, is that there's this fine, fine line. You are called to follow Paul as he followed Jesus Christ. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am a follower of Jesus Christ. Be ye followers of me and mark them which do so. Right? You're called to follow biblical leadership as such. And what's going to happen with this is that either you do that, or maybe you'll follow some guy because you just really like his personality. And he really helped you a lot one time, and you just saw him cry one time, and you just know that he has a good heart. Okay? Now look, I'm just telling you, there's a lot of fundamental independent Baptists that get way off on this thing. There are guys that stand up where I'm standing and appeal to you to follow them on the basis that they are a man of God, and that therefore what they say should go. Now, you know what? I have never said that. I don't intend to say that. All right? If you want to follow me, what you should follow me in is the Word of God. You have a copy? Read your Bible. Follow along with me. You check what I say. If I give you my opinion, I'll do my very best to let you know it's an opinion, not a doctrine. But the fact of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, that you have to make up your mind whether you are in a cult or not, I suppose. But there's a lot of cultic stuff going on these days. I mean, even 10 years ago, I was noticing there were families that were going off after guys named Gothard and Dobson. Those guys are not even biblical. They're an admixture of philosophy and psychology and Bible. And I've seen ladies turn absolutely white in the face when I stood up and said something bad about Gothard. Okay? He's not even a biblical Christian. All right? That's the point. And by the way, I knew guys, you know, where we went to school, and they would say, well, a question would come up, well, Dr. Ruckman says, that's the wrong answer. The wrong answer is, well, my pastor said, that's the wrong answer. Look, if you can't speak as the oracles of God, like I said this morning, just shut up and leave my name out of it, all right? Just do me a favor. Don't say you believe it because I said it. I don't want you to believe it because I said it. I don't want you to believe it because Ruckman said it or Heil said it or your favorite teacher said it. I want you to believe it because God said it. He gave you the Bible. And look, the group, the cult definition that has to do with leadership is true in the sense that those guys take those folks and brainwash them in the way that we don't believe at all. They do not take them to the Bible. They take them away from the Bible. And I'm telling you, folks, you're not in a cult because I plead with you, I beg you all the time to please, please, please read your Bible this morning. Study your Bible and check me out. Do not follow me for my sake. I don't even want you to follow me for my sake. Right? All right, there's something else I want you to see here. First thing was that a cult differs, or folks in a cult differ from the beliefs of religious groups considered orthodox or historic Christianity. Cults also are gathered around a specific person whose word is final about what the Bible says or what God believes or whatever like that, all right? Third thing is this. A cult considers that they have freed their adherents from religious exploitation and the shackles of historic Christianity. All right? For instance, if you talk to JWs, what they'll tell you is that for their entire lives, the poor JWs, while they were Catholics or Baptists or whatever, a lot of them were Baptists, that they were exploited by a false Christianity, and they have finally delivered the poor Baptists into Jehovah's Witnesses, and now they have the true faith. Okay? Mormons say the same thing. Jim Jones, by the way, said the same thing. Let me read you something here. They found this in Jim Jones' pocket after he and his entire group drank the Kool-Aid. All right? A sealed note was found in the cult member's body, apparently written by a follower just prior to the ritual suicide. And it gave additional credence to this theory. "Dad," the note said, "I see no way out. I agree with your decision to commit suicide. I fear only that without you, the world may not make it to communism." That is, all you guys were deceived all the time that you were in some other religious outfit. Now, you're with the right outfit, but they're not going to come all the way to communism. So, you know, it's failed. But he says, goes on to say, "For my part, I am more than tired of this wretched, merciless planet and the hell it holds for so many masses of beautiful people. Thank you for the only life I've known." Now, my point in saying all that, folks, is that the cults consider themselves to be deliverers of folks from what was wrong, even if you were, say, a Baptist. Did you know that Jehovah's Witnesses pray on Baptists big time? You know that Charismatics pray on Baptists big time? All right, well, now what's the thing about that? Here's the deal. You say, well, anybody then that considers quote-unquote Orthodox Christianity a bondage is then a cult leader. Well, here's the problem with that. Here's where Satan slides in and deceives folks and gets under folks' skin. Don't you consider yourself to have been delivered from historic Christianity in some regards? I mean, weren't you, some of you Catholics, Lutherans, before you were saved? Weren't you blind in the darkness before you got saved? Okay, well, that's what happened to you. See, here's the deal. Here's where the devil gets folks, is that he convinces a Catholic that a Catholic should do all the things his church says, and he should participate in Mary parades where you haul around Mary on a, you know, on your shoulders, and she's a stupid the Queen of Heaven, and she's draped in the shrouds of heaven and all those sort of things. And you parade her down the street in St. Paul, and all the Catholics stand around and worship her and so on and adore her and so on like that. And that's okay. And you should applaud, if you're a Catholic, all those guys down in Mexico that put themselves on a cross, allow themselves to be crucified, right? That's a good thing. That is good zeal. That's really good zeal. But the day that you get saved, turn your stinking life around, quit smoking, quit sending your kids to Halloween parties, quit smoking dope and quit being a drunk and get with Jesus Christ and turn your life around, then your zeal, your passion means that you're in a cult. Right? They claim that they have delivered folks from the shackles of historic Christianity, but we believe that too. Because we believe historic Christianity so often is, if not cultic, like Roman Catholicism, it's just lame, like Methodism or Presbyterianism, right? you were delivered to the real thing. You have the real thing. Now look, and there's something else that cults are characterized by. They are characterized by closed-mindedness, they say, and dogmatism. Ever try to talk to a Mormon? You don't get very far. Ever try to talk to a Jehovah's Witness? You don't get very far. They have six favorite verses, and they will go round and round and round on those verses. Ever try to talk to a Roman Catholic? How many of you have had success in the last year of sitting down and taking a Catholic through the Bible on what his church believes? Very few of us have gotten a guy to sit for that long. Why? Because they are not programmed to do so. They are not interested, right? Now, they are characterized by closed-mindedness and dogmatism, and that's true. I mean, nobody can convince the Moonies, it seems like, these days, right? Nobody's having success converting too many Muslims at this point. There's a reason why. They are closed-minded. They're dogmatic. But here's the deal. Do I not teach you, doesn't the Bible not teach you, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord? See, that's the thing. And they say, well, you're a cult. And you know what? There are certain ways that you have certain characteristics of a cult, in that there are certain characteristics of a cult that are right and good. I mean, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, right? Earnestly contend for the faith, once delivered unto the saints, it says there. Those three Hebrew children, they would not bow to that statue out there on that plain, right? Okay, were they dogmatic? Were they closed-minded? Yes, they were. Now look, folks, what you should be willing to do, you should be happy to revisit any doctrine anybody wants to revisit. And I'm happy to go back through and reanalyze everything if you really want to drag me there. But I'll tell you what, don't come to me with the traditions of men. Don't come to me without a Bible. Don't come to me having twisted three verses when there are 35 verses that discuss the thing we're discussing about. Don't come to me with half-baked ideas, right? Because I am dogmatic and I am closed-minded about things. I am willing to reevaluate. But I tell you what, if you can't present your case well, then I'm not going your way, right? If you can't convince me from the Bible that what you say is true, then we're not interested in talking, right? There's another thing here real quick. The cults exercise mind control and behavior modification. Their first step is usually something called deprogramming. That's where they take you in and tell you that everything you've ever been taught is wrong. Ask you a question. Have you ever met somebody that was completely, utterly, entirely down on church, period, no matter what kind of church? Catholic Church, Lutheran Church, Methodist Church, Baptist Church, Bible-believing Church, independent churches, whatever. Ever met anybody like that? Well, I'll tell you what, if you ever meet somebody like that and they're not interested in talking at all about anything spiritual, it could well be that they have a cultic mindset. But I'll tell you this, their first step is to deprogram and tell you that everything you believe is wrong. The second thing is to take you and break you. That's the reason that a lot of the cults take you away in a compound somewhere where they can take you and isolate you and work on you for a long time. And once they break you down, then they brainwash you and reprogram you. Now, that's cultic. Anytime you read back through history to the hippie-type cults and all the social-based revolutionary-type cults, that's what those guys did. They deprogrammed, they broke, and then they reprogrammed. But wait a minute. Isn't that what we do in some measure, right? I mean, you come in here and you've been a Mormon your entire life. Don't we tell you that what you've been taught is wrong? But by the way, here's what's right and here's why it's wrong. Doesn't the Bible say that the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit? Isn't it good to be broken? And don't we then, after you get saved, try to rebuild you, reprogram you, and basically brainwash you into what's right? Okay? In that regard, that's what I mean. Sometimes this cuts kind of close to the bone, because the fact of the matter is, there's many aspects of Christianity that does the very same thing that they say the cults do. I'm just telling you. I'm not trying to cut too close to the bone here. I'm not trying to scare any of you. I'm telling you, If you don't go by the Bible, you haven't got a chance, one, of figuring out what's going on. Because if you step away from that Bible and go by their definitions, then you've got a problem, because you do have certain of those characteristics, right? You do have a Bible. You are deprogrammed. You are reprogrammed. By the grace of God, you are brainwashed. You do believe that you were delivered from a darkness that is found in Orthodox Christianity out there, Lutherans and Catholicism, that sort of thing. You do believe you were delivered out of the power of darkness that's found in those places and translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. That's what you believe, right? That's a good thing. You have the real thing, right? All right, now, another thing to be mentioned here is that the cults often use a veneer of scholarship and higher knowledge. That is, what the cult members try to do is, the leaders try to do is convince you that they have a higher form of knowledge than what you know about, right? Now, here's a problem with that little statement. First of all, in Acts chapter 4, they perceive that Peter and John were unlearned and ignorant men. By the way, it says the common people heard Jesus Christ gladly. By the way, the Bible says that Paul was rude in speech, but not in knowledge. It says that his bodily presence was weak, his speech contemptible. Paul did not talk like the average scholar. Now, if this is true, if this is what a cult is, then I got news for you. Maybe the greatest cult there is this biblical cult by which we are always given scholarship as a final authority over our Bibles and over our lives. Right? That's the point. Now look, folks, you have a Bible. If you ever stray away from that Bible, you are going to be susceptible to being deceived. All right? You are not in a cult. It's advertised to you all the time. You're admonished, you're poked, you're prodded, and you're pushed. Get in the Bible, come get more Bible, always check what somebody says. There's not a preacher that's been through here in years that hasn't stood up and said, you know, hasn't reinforced what I've said from the Word of God. There's not a guy that stands in our pulpit when I'm gone, Brother Dave, Brother Grissom, Brother whoever, that doesn't stand up and say, open your Bibles here and turn with me and read. You have the Word of God. You have the truth. You are not a part of a cult. All right, there's one other thing I'd like to show you here real quick. They claim in our text here that the cults claim exclusive privileges in salvation. All right? I mean, the JWs say, if you're not a JW, you ain't squat. If you're not a Catholic, you can't even be saved. Right? If you're not a Mormon, sorry, you're going to miss out. Right? Now, you know what I believe? I believe that if you get saved, if you put your faith and trust in Christ, you're saved regardless of where you sit, what church you go to. So I'm not a very good cult member, because I don't believe that we have exclusive claim on salvation. I know Baptists that get awfully close to that, by the way. I will say this. We may be cultic in the sense that we believe we are the only way, not our church, but as Christians. I mean, there is one way, there is one truth, and there is one life, and there is not another way through it, right? Now look, folks, the point is that the devil is very subtle, and he controls most of Orthodox Christianity. If you look, what is Orthodox Christianity? Methodism, Anglicanism, Episcopalianism, Presbyterianism, Congregationalism. What are those churches these days? Those churches are infested with sodomites, with adulterers, and really rotten, stinking doctrine. They most, for the most part, would not know a Bible if it walked up and kicked them in the shin. All right? That's the point. It is Satan that, for the most part, runs what is considered mainstream Orthodox Christianity. Now, that's not what you're a part of. You're a part of a Bible-believing Christianity. If you stick with the Bible, you're in good shape. Now, look, are you a cult? You get accused of it all the time. If you go stand on the street very long and preach, you're going to be accused of being part of a cult. If you get excited about Jesus Christ, if you get passionate and zealous about trying to win somebody to Christ, about the Bible issue, about the second coming of Christ, I tell you what you're going to do. you're going to make somebody mad, you're going to shake somebody's tree, and Aunt Maybell is going to say some nasty things about you behind your back and maybe even eventually to your face. She's going to say you're part of a cult. She's seen this before. She's seen folks get messed up in these Baptist churches where everybody's looking for Christ to come back. And that's what you're doing. You're getting messed up in a cult. And hopefully, you're just going through a phase. And hopefully, you'll grow out of it before they take you down to Ghana and feed you Kool-Aid. Okay? Hopefully. And that's what she thinks. Now, folks, I'm telling you right now, you are not in a cult. If there are any characteristics that resemble what they say a cult is like, it's biblical leadership. It's you being dogmatic and steadfast and rooted and not double-minded in things of the Word of God. And that's where you should be. Listen, if you stand with Jesus Christ, you're standing in the right place. If you're zealous for Jesus Christ, you're doing the right thing. You think you're going to go to the judgment seat of Christ and the Lord's going to say, you know, you really got carried away. I mean, I gave you that job and you tried to witness to people on the job. You really shouldn't have done that. That's not going to happen. I can tell you that right now. They are mad because you have something to hold to. They are mad at you because you will not yield to their way of thinking. They're mad at you because you will no longer follow them and do what they want to do. They're under conviction because you no longer drink, you no longer smoke, and you no longer do dope. Okay? They're mad at you for leaving the darkness you were in. And so they find some attribute, and they can accuse you of being a cult member, and you're not. You're a Christian with a Bible, doing what the Bible says in the Bible way. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we hope we've helped somebody here tonight. I know that this matter goes around a lot. Folks talk about it a lot here and there, and folks have all kinds of accusations. We've been accused from many fronts and many times of being a cult, just like most Bible believers have at one point or another. Pray, Father, you'd give us a steadfast faith. Help us not to yield to this nonsense. Father, I pray you'd just help strengthen us in the Word of God. Help us stand fast in the faith and be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Help us not yield to man's mealy-mouthed little opinions that don't count for anything. Pray and strengthen us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to number 183 and we'll stand real quick. Number 183. Number 183. we're dismissed here tonight, the Christoffersons have been in China for 20 years. And we had intended to do some more for them, and then things kind of went nuts around all the hospitalizations and camp and all that stuff. So we're going to just resign ourselves to have some cake tonight, kind of in honor of the Christoffersons going back away in their 20th year back to China. And maybe do a little something else for them before they leave, actually. But we'll see about that Wednesday night. But we're going to stop and have some cake here for a while, make sure and talk to them for a little while here. Institute meeting, we will not have a meeting as such. If you have changed your mind about how many courses you'll take or whatever, just see me and I'll figure out how to handle it. All right? So let's be dismissed tonight. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the truth and giving us a good day here today. There are some folks that we missed that were out of town. Pray you'd get them back safely, Father. We're missing some friends, Lord, that we don't know much about right now. I haven't seen Jacqueline for a few weeks. Pray you'd be with her, Lord. And there are some other folks we could name as well. We just ask you now to bless as we kind of have a little going away thing for the Christoffersons in honor of 20 years on the field and in the field of China at that. Pray you'd bless them, Father. We look forward. We enjoy their friendship and all the fruitfulness through the years. Pray, Father, we might just honor that here for a little while. And we're asking you to bless all that we do in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Cake will be ready in a little bit, I suppose.